Psalm number 106. This morning, we were very, very doctrinal. And tonight, I'm going to be very, very practical. Intensely practical tonight. This morning, I gave you no opinion. I just gave you Bible. I think everything that I said this morning is just out of the Bible. Whatever it is. Tonight, I'm going to give you some opinion. All right? And you'll know when it's opinion. And you can do what you want to with opinion. You have an opinion, I have an opinion. You got a belly button, I got a belly button. We have no idea what it's for, but we all got one. And I'll give you some opinion tonight, and then you can decide what you want to do with it. But I'm going to preach tonight on digital drugs. Digital drugs.
Good. Yep.
Psalm number 106, verse 29. I'm looking at one word. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague breaking upon them. Verse 39. Thus were they defiled with their own works and went a whoring with their own inventions. We won't turn there, but in Romans chapter 1, where Paul gives that catalog of sins there at the end of the chapter, he talks about backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? 5 years ago, I preached six years ago, I preached five sermons on digital drugs, and they may be available online. I'm not sure if they still are, but I wanted to give a warning about the dangers of the technological and digital age that we live in. Technology can be a blessing, and it can be a curse. It can make life easier. I'm not sure that it makes life any better. But the personal computer, the smartphone, has changed our world much like the automobile changed our world forever. We have so much information at our fingertips. You can instantly communicate with anybody around the world. I can carry thousands of songs or sermons just in my pocket. I can call, I can text, I can Skype, I can email, I can do whatever. I can buy anything from a book or a bicycle and have it delivered to my door tomorrow. Just from a device. And I view technology and all the digital devices that we own, I view them all as amoral. Amoral. It's kind of like your television. Your television is not evil in itself. It's just a box of wires and chips and computers and what have you. And you can broadcast the gospel across that, or you can watch adultery on that. And in the same way, the internet and all of our digital devices are tools that can be used for good or for bad. You take a hammer. You can build a house with it, or you can kill somebody. Just depending on what you want to do with it and who's holding it and what your purpose is. And we've always known that the two greatest influences on our young people is music and friends. If a teenager has friends who are worldly, don't love God, listen to music that does not honor God, that teenager will not grow up with any zeal for God. The proof of that is that he has friends who don't love God, and he listens to music that doesn't honor the Lord. If he had a zeal for God, then those things would not be in his life. And music and friends are so powerful influences that you can have them in a great church, a Christian school, family devotions, but those two influences can become more powerful than everything else. But we have to add to that now the internet, digital devices. If your child or your teenager has unfettered access to the internet, is addicted to video games, is sitting online in chat rooms, and you have no idea, then your child, your teenager, has little to no chance to mature into true biblical Christianity. And we are watching another generation of young people that don't have a heart and a zeal for God, and we have to wake up and say, where is the influence coming from? And I believe one of those is from the internet. Now, again, the problem is not technology. The problem is in the heart of the man who uses the technology. On my radio or my truck, I play Christian music. You may play country music on yours. It has nothing to do with the radio. It has to do with your appetites, and it has to do with your desires. And when our morality and our spirituality does not keep up with our technological advances, then the tools that could be used as instruments of righteousness are only going to be used to tools to hasten our moral and spiritual bankruptcy. Now here's the deal. We're not going back to an analog world. We're not, all right? You can opine about the good old days. I'm not sure they were so good after all. But we're not going back to that. You're not going back to pre-digital and pre-iPhone. You're not going to do that. You're not going to get rid of all of those devices. I'm not, you're not. So here's what we have to do. We have to be aware of the traps, the pitfalls, the dangers, the trends that they have created. And we have to keep our lives balanced and unchained in this new world that we live in. We live in a world of digital distractions. It's estimated that 82% of households in America have internet connection. By the way, one of the offshoots of all of this are all of the subscriptions all of a sudden that we are subscribed to. I all of a sudden have new bills that I didn't have 10 years ago, but now they are a necessity. Can't live without it. Now, that's an amazing thing. You used to go to the store and buy a box of software, Microsoft Word or whatever, and install it on your computer, and you own it till the millennium. But not anymore. I use Microsoft Suite, and I pay a subscription of $99 a year to use the Microsoft Suite. You can't go to Best Buy and buy it. You have to subscribe to it. But now, to make your life so much more convenient and easier, you can also have a subscription to Hulu and to Netflix and to YouTube and to Spotify and Apple iTunes and Adobe and right on down the line. And I think that a good place to start is just in assessing, do I really need all of these subscriptions? I harp on them all the time in the Fleur household. Why are we paying $2.99 a month to Apple iTunes to store pictures of grandkids? Why are we doing that? I harp on that all of the time. And here's the thing about it. If you lived without Apple, if you were able to survive without Apple iTunes 10 years ago, I'm going to venture a guess you might could still survive without it. Now, you do what you want to. I don't care. That's opinion, by the way, all right? But it has opened up that. With the internet available everywhere you go and on pocket devices, you can literally be online every spare moment. Everywhere you go, you got your phone with you. So if the phone rings, you can watch a video, you can send a text, you can check what somebody said on Facebook or whatever it might be, and it is all right there. And it is a distraction is what it is. Yes, sir. Last Sunday, we went to Sonny's barbecue for dinner or for Sunday lunch, sat down, and an older man and woman came in with four little boys, very obviously that this is grandma and grandpa and four little grandkids. And these four boys all marched in. They sat down at the table next to us. And all four boys, that's 8, 9, 10, 11, whatever, all four of them are on a phone and they're doing something on their phone. And they sit down, don't even look at the menu. And for the entire time that we were there, they never looked up and never said a word. We don't even know how to have conversations anymore. It has become a distraction. And we probably don't even realize how much we are bombarded with media. Now, I'm an old soul tonight. I'm an old soul, somewhat. But when I go to eat at a restaurant, do I have to have a TV on the wall playing ESPN? Or could I spare an hour or two just to eat in silence? Could that happen? You can't even pump your gas at the gas station without them playing an advertisement right there on the screen. I'm not here to be advertised about Frito-Lays. I'm here just to get some gasoline. That's all I want to do. But the kid can't go more than 5 miles in the car without playing a Disney video on the car DVD, or he's going to be pitching a fit. And you can't have dinner with the family because everybody's texting and everybody's on Facebook, and we have lost the art of just talking to each other. Here's what we have sacrificed. Here's what we've sacrificed. We have sacrificed in this age of media consumption, we've sacrificed the art of meditation and thinking. We live as sound bites. Everything's a sound bite. Huh? To meditate is to think long and deeply on a subject. When you meditate on something, it gets into your soul. You learn more about it. You learn more deeply about it. You gain not just information, but you gain insight. But you can't meditate checking Twitter. And replying to Instagram and posting a picture on Facebook and chatting with somebody, you can't meditate. It is a distraction is what it is. Digital distractions. And now that we carry our phones with us, we are in constant demand. And doesn't that make us feel important? My phone will ding me when somebody calls. It will ring me when somebody texts. It'll beep when somebody sends an email. And I have push notification because I'm so important that if somebody sends me a text, I need to respond to it right now. And if somebody sends me an email, I know that it is urgent. So if I'm having a conversation with you, excuse me, you no longer are important. My phone is important. Isn't that the world we live in? Huh? By the way, I think that that is rude. Now, again, that's opinion. If I'm talking to you, we're having a conversation and my phone rings or it beeps. Somebody just posted something on Facebook, a picture of their hamburger or whatever. And it rings. Okay. Then you just stand still. Let me check this real quick because this is more important than you. And I just think that's rude. Do you know, if you're reading your Bible and your phone beeps, you put your Bible down, pick up your phone. You could be praying. And ding. And you might not quit praying, but you might pray a little quicker. Because I got to see what the ding is. Isn't that right? Hey, here's something you ought to practice. If you are talking to somebody and your phone rings, don't answer it. Amen. Start leaving your phone in the car when you go into Lowe's. It'll be okay. Hey, here's a great rule. Don't bring your phone into church. Mine's out in the truck. And the truck is locked. And I lock it because there's a lot of stuff in there that I don't want nobody to get. And we have, 23 cameras? And if you go break in, we got you. No problem. All right? But here's what if I have an emergency? I've been doing it for 30 years. Hadn't had an emergency during church yet. Right. Amen. Yeah. We live in an age of digital distractions. But we live in an age of digital addictions. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, watch this, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Right. To be addicted is to have something to have power over you. Right. And there's been a lot of studies on the chemistry of addiction, and I won't get into all of that, but dopamine, they call it the happy hormone, because when you do something that gives you pleasure, then your brain sends out that hormone, dopamine, to tell the rest of your body, hey, that was pleasurable, that was fun, let's do that again. And that can be everything from drugs or to pornography or to the sugar addiction that is very addictive. And it sends but here's the thing. A Christian should not allow his body to be under the power of any. Colossians 3 says, mortify therefore the members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. Inordinate affection. Inordinate is excessive. So inordinate affection is excessive affection. If you spend hours a day playing video games, that is an inordinate affection. If you eat 5 boxes of Twinkies a day, that's an inordinate affection. If you know the stat of every player on every ball team, that is an inordinate affection. The affection may not be a sin, but when it becomes inordinate, then it is a sin. It might not be a sin to eat a Twinkie, but it is a sin to eat 5 boxes of them. And there is no question that we are seeing children and teens and even adults develop an inordinate affection for digital devices and content. Yes, sir. Yep, sir. Right. And probably the greatest example of that is social media. Social media is a new phenomenon that allows you to connect with people and have friends that you didn't know that you have, and you've got apps and you've got programs, and you haven't seen that person in 10 or 15 years. And all of my statistics are from 5 years ago, so I won't give you any statistics, but it is huge. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and all the rest of it. And social media elicits strong responses from both sides. There are some people that absolutely hate it. There are some people that just love it as passionately. About 10 years ago, I had a brief stint with Facebook and Twitter. I had both for about 2 months. And I got rid of them. I canceled both of them. And the reason why, it wasn't because I thought that it was evil, but it was a distraction for me. It was unnecessary. It was boring, to be honest with you. I do not care to see a picture of your lunch. I could care less what you had for lunch. And I don't think that you are smart enough to put enough pithy statements on Twitter for me to follow you. So I didn't see the point of it. Now, I don't preach a blanket statement against all social media, because lumped in that is things like WhatsApp and LinkedIn and what have you. And I have WhatsApp. I used to have 2 contacts. I now have 1. That's Jim Showers. That's how we communicate in Paraguay. You have Pinterest. Pinterest is some kind of board where you post recipes and pictures of your dogs. It seems to be mostly a ladies thing. I don't know. I can't imagine a guy having a Pinterest thing. So I don't have a Pinterest. LinkedIn is where a business person puts a business profile, and then you link with related business people. And I understand I don't have a LinkedIn. So when I get invitations to LinkedIn, I just delete them because I don't have one. A Snapchat, I think is absolutely ludicrous to own. I think it has absolutely no legitimate use. This is my opinion, but it is filled with danger. I think what Snapchat does is it allows you to take a picture of something that will self-destruct in so much time or so many seconds. I know of a young unmarried man who is Snapchat friends with a married woman. That is a horrible idea. What you are doing is you are setting yourself up for a fall. Horrible. TikTok. I'm not sure exactly what you do with TikTok. I think it has something to do with videos. I've never been on it. But I've heard, I don't know this, you check it out. I've heard that TikTok is owned by the Chinese government or a Chinese company. So if you care anything about privacy, you would never post anything to TikTok. Nothing. I just don't see any purpose. Again, my opinion. Yes, sir. Here's one of the problems with social media. It's what I call the sin of careless chatter. Careless chatter. Listen to this. It's Ecclesiastes 10:11. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. See, here is the problem with social media, is that it has made a philosopher and an expert out of everybody. Now all of a sudden, everybody knows something about everybody, and there are few things that a man likes to hear more than his opinion. And social media gives him the platform to broadcast that to the world. So you can opine on somebody's post. You can join in on conversations you have no business being in on. You can hear a man preach a 30-second clip of a sermon, and then you become an expert on all of the heresies he believes, and you can criticize him. And I just tell you that there are some conversations you don't need to be involved in. There are some people you should not talk to. There are some arguments you ought to stay out of. There are some, somebody help me, there are some matters that are not any of your business. There are some subjects that are not edifying, and they are not Christ honoring. And while social media is not specifically mentioned in the Bible, the tongue is. And social media is an extension of the tongue. So everything the Bible says about the tongue, you can apply in principle to social media. If there is one word, if there is one word that best describes social media, it is self-promotion. Amen. Now, if I was running for house rep, I might want to need to promote myself, all right? But have you noticed that nobody posts ugly pictures of themselves? Huh? You take 15 to get the right angle, and I'm not going to tell you about all of my failures on Facebook because it is intended to make me look better than what I really am. Right. The honest truth is there is a measure of pride in every one of us, and social media has become a breeding ground for self-love and self-admiration. So on whatever social media platform you favor, you get to be the star of your own story. You post the best pictures of yourself, and you promote an image of life that you know is not even real, and you imagine that there is a large following out there that really is hanging on to every move that you make. There's nothing wrong with posting about the blessings of God and what God has done for you and all the good things that is woven into your life. But when you have to broadcast how wonderful your life is, you are not glorifying God. You are glorifying yourself. I've got the best wife, and I've got the best kids, and I've got the best dog, and I've got the best cat, and everything is just wonderful. Ain't nobody's life is that wonderful. Nobody. Listen, if you still care what people think about you, that is a juvenile quality. When you are 18, you care what people think about you. When you are 40, you don't care what people think about you. When you are 60, you realize people aren't thinking about you. Right? Amen. People paint a fairy tale on social media. Everything is just so funny. Everything is just so perfect. And it is a phony picture, and it's intended to impress. Can I tell you something? I'm just preaching. You don't have 752 friends. You don't. Ain't nobody got that many friends. You can't keep up with that many friends. You can't keep that many friends happy. And by the way, if they were really your friend, you wouldn't have to post everything so favorable, because your true friends have seen you at your very worst. And they're still your friend. We live in a world of digital distractions and a world of digital addictions, but we live in a world of digital perversions. I don't know when it started, but decades ago, the floodgates of pornography was opened in America. We have reaped the horrible consequences of desensitizing an entire generation to sexual perversions. There was a time in America when sexual matters were private matters. Virgins blushed. Young men turned red whenever you even mentioned the subject in mixed company. That used to be America. But with the help of Hollywood, with the help of Nashville, with the help of public education, our culture has been desensitized toward sexual matters. And we've gone so far down the road now that they're pushing gender confusion in kindergarten. Telling 4- and 5-year-olds about transgender and gender. You've got to be kidding me. And in this digital age that we live in, every kind of filthy perversion is only about 3 clicks away. That's all it is. I won't give you all the statistics, but the reasons why internet pornography is so dangerous is it comes in a digital format. You don't have to carry it around in physical form. It's easier to hide. And then it's available at the click of a mouse or button. It's at your fingertips. There is an endless amount of free content. The varieties are endless. I just read yesterday an IFB pastor in another state had his son working for him on staff. The young man, I don't know if he's married or not, but he's an adult man. He got on Twitter with a profile pretending to be a teen girl. Befriended or whatever you do on Twitter, if you friend them or like them or whatever you do, with teen boys, and got them to send him a nude photo thinking they were sending it to this girl. And then somehow, I don't know how you do this, but somehow when they sent that, he got access to all of their contents, all of their friends on their Twitter. He sent a message to the boys. I have the picture and I have your friends. And I'm going to send the photo to your friends if you don't do what I tell you to. Did it 13 boys. And it got vile from there. Vile from there. Dangerous. Dangerous. And let me just stop. I'm going to be practical here in a minute. Let me just stop right here. I don't know. I don't know what anybody's into. But I'm going to tell you, internet perversion and pornography, as prevalent as it is, it's more widespread than we think. In a great church tonight, preach it as straight as we can. Kids standing on the platform singing. If we knew what everybody in this room did in the secret imageries of their heart in the dark, we would be shocked. And I just say tonight that if you're trapped in that, I tell you the first way to get out is to repent. The first way is to acknowledge that you have a problem. Now, I wouldn't recommend that you stand up in public and announce that I have an addiction to pornography, but you start with personal honesty. That's right. Repentance, we talked about it tonight. No, this morning. It is acknowledging the wicked nature of the sin that I am involved in, confessing it to God, and separating myself from it. And if you have not separated yourself from it, you have not repented. On two occasions, I had a man sit in my office and acknowledge that they were addicted to internet pornography. Both of them were there because their wife caught them and sent them in there. And both of them wanted me to counsel. And because it was on their internet, we talked about it. Here was my counsel to both of them. It hasn't always been. My counsel to both of them was, one of the steps you need to do is you need to get rid of your computer. That's where you're accessing it from. I told one man, I said, you need to get rid of the computer. He said, well, I can't do that. I have to have it for my job. I said, no problem. Get you another job. Right. You don't have to have a job to deliver trash, pick up trash. You got a computer to do that. Right. Well, I can't do that. 6 months later, he's back in the office again. Tonight, he's divorced. Because I'm not willing to take the measures necessary to quit that. And you think that is extreme. I'll tell you what is extreme. It's Jesus saying that if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. If your right hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better that your members should perish than thy whole body should be cast into hell. That's extreme. Yeah. Repentance. I tell you how you overcome it. It's not just repentance, but discipleship. Discipleship is Christian growth. It is maturity. It comes from reading your Bible. It comes from praying. It comes from good friends, good music. It comes from being in church. You cannot crucify the flesh and renew your mind and die to self just on sheer willpower. What you have to do is you have to replace the bad with the good. You cannot grow in maturity just by trying to put things off, but you have to fill your mind and your soul with that which is pure. You have to saturate your mind every day with the Word of God and with prayer. And let that. I tell you that the greatest thing that I ever did for my spiritual life last year was when we started memorizing those books of the Bible. Yes, sir. Oh, it's the greatest thing that I ever did. I love that. But it takes repentance and it takes discipleship and it takes accountability. Sexual sin is always committed in the dark. And part of the recovery is to bring it out into the open. Again, I don't advocate standing up and confessing it to a church. Counselors will disagree on this, but I would tell you, young man, I would tell you that if you are into pornography tonight and if you want to be free, then you need to go to your parents, or if you're married, you need to go to your wife and you need to confess that. And you don't know how she's going to respond. She might leave you. She might do that, but I'm going to tell you something. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. And your life ought to be an open book. We've said it 100 times. Your wife ought to have free and unfettered access to your checking account and your computer and your email and your phone records. And if you erase the search history on your computer, there is something that you're trying to hide. We live in an age of digital perversions. Well, let me give you some practical tips. I want to be just very, very practical, all right? And we understand stewardship in the time, in the area of time and money. I think that we have to be stewards in online devices, especially if you have children. And I think one of the keys is intentionality. The internet is a dangerous place to just roam. Because every click takes you down a rabbit hole that you don't want to go. And I think that you have to be very intentional. There are some parents that allow their kids social media accounts. You don't keep track of what they're doing. And the thing about it is that they could in an instant, unintentionally, be exposed to a world they didn't even know existed. It is impossible to overstate the dangers of wasted time, corrupt communications, which is why you have to be disciplined with this. So just give you some tips. Just some tips. If you want to write it down, you do what you want to. Here are some tips, all right? That kind of covers the whole gamut here. I'm preaching 5 sermons in 1 is what I'm doing. Do not check your email or your social media accounts in the morning until you've had your devotions. You sleep with the next to your front bed, and as soon as you wake up, pick up the phone to see what somebody posted on Instagram while you were sleeping. And go the whole day without reading your Bible. So why don't you just make a rule? No Facebook, no Instagram, no Twitter, no email. It'll wait. It'll be there. But I am going to prioritize in my life God. I'm going to prioritize my time with Him. And then on the end of it, set up a time at the end of your day. Shut it all down. Don't check Facebook and roll over and go to bed. Just shut it down. Have an hour or two just to be done. In fact, now this one's going to kill you. Okay? There's a key, so I don't know that you can do this. Take one day and be done with it all. Just be done. Could you imagine a single day? No internet, no YouTube, no TV, no movies, no nothing. So what would I do with all of my time? I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, talk to your wife? Play a game? You know we used to play games as kids? Monopoly? We used to do that, right? I was a Monopoly champion. I was, in our family. Everybody knows. Nobody in my family wants to play me in Monopoly. I cannot be beat. We used to do that. It's all in the cheating, but you had to do what you had to do. But that's what we used to do, exercise digital etiquette when you are with somebody else. I've already mentioned that. Hey, here's a good thing to practice. This is just so practical. When you call somebody and they answer the phone, ask them, "Is this a good time, or should I call you later?" That's etiquette, is what that is. I'll admit that is a pet peeve of mine. But if you ever had a conversation with somebody and their phone rings, they keep checking the phone? If I'm having a conversation with you and you keep checking your phone, I am going to get the idea you don't really want to have this conversation with me. You're nodding your head and you're but you're not really with me. Just tell me. You know what? You're boring me. I really would rather check Facebook than talk to you. I'll go my way. I have no problem with that. Rules for social media. The less, the better. The less time. The less information. The less information about yourself. Amen. Do not enter silly debates. There are some people that live to argue. That's their whole purpose for life. And Facebook has become a platform to debate over things that really don't mean anything. The silliest thing, listen church, the silliest thing in the world is for a group of carnal Christians to enter into a theological debate with other carnal Christians on social media. And some people, they thrive on the controversy. You know why? It's because you are proud. It doesn't do anything to encourage. It doesn't do anything to edify. It doesn't do anything to uplift. So don't enter into arguments with fools online.
Right.
Just don't. Don't give an opinion on every subject matter. I know that I have an opinion, and my opinion is actually right. But I'm not going to give it to you because you don't deserve it. You don't have to talk everything about yourself. Don't announce every move that you're making. Don't like every post that you see. Just be done with it. Just be done.
Yeah, right.
Here's a good one. Be very selective who you follow and who you allow to follow you. As a church, delete everybody that has a critical attitude toward Christianity. You should under no circumstances be friends with an old flame if you're married. Sitting in the room, living room late at night, you're scrolling around on the internet while it's gone to bed, and you think about somebody that you dated 35 years ago. I wonder where she's at. And you punch her name in, and there she is. And she looks better than your wife. And for something, there you go. You are about two clicks away from an affair. That's foolish. Don't send messages or posts or anything to the opposite sex or to minors. When you post something, it is public. Even if you send a private text to just one person, it is out there somewhere. It is foolish to send any private message to a minor. I don't think that every man is a pervert, but I just think that you'd be wiser just to stay away from any appearance of any inappropriate conduct. I just wouldn't go there. Subscribe to an internet filtering service. They're not foolproof. They can be hacked. Every teenager in here probably can get around it. But it's a good first line of defense. Accountability means that you open yourself up to somebody else and you allow them to see everything that you do and everywhere that you go online. If you are a parent, by the way, if you are a parent and you have kids and they're on anything that is online, it is not open for discussion. I have the right to look at anything, anywhere, at any time that I want to. There are no hidden accounts. There are no private passwords. There are no secret emails or social media that I don't know about. And if I do discover it, it will be the last time that you hold a phone while you're living in my house. It is just not going to happen. Use caution when giving out personal information. No, that's a big one to me because I think everybody's spying on us. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm kind of close to it, to be honest with you. Every app on your smartphone wants to access your location. Well, why do you need to know where I'm at? What do you need to know that for? Huh? You know, can we send you messages? No. I want no messages from you. Always giving out your information. I don't understand much about cookies and caches and all that kind of stuff, but every click on the mouse is being logged somewhere. Never give out personal information unless you're absolutely certain of who you are giving it to. Don't reply to it. You know all of that stuff. Hey, keep all of your computers in an open public space. Don't allow your children to have a computer in their room or some internet connected device on their phone late at night. You're asking for trouble is what you're doing. My opinion, delete all chat rooms. I just wouldn't have any of them. There's too much danger in texting and instant messages. And here's the problem. You become more familiar with somebody online than you would if you were face to face. When you have the anonymity, the supposed anonymity of the screen, then you're a little bit more forward. You're a little bit more advanced. You say a little bit more things, you know, that you wouldn't say if we were just face to face. The chat room is just one more place for strangers and sexual predators and child pornographers and all kinds of evil characters to get into, and you have no business being. I honestly know of no reason why a teenager ought to be in any chat room. Now, there might be one where they're discussing the Sunday morning sermon. I don't think that they are, to be honest with you. I don't think you ought to be in it. And then I'll give you this one. I'll give you this one, and then I'll be done. I'll be done. All right? And this is big to me. No texting while driving. I haven't always been perfect at that. But I do a whole lot better than I used to. 1 in 4 motor vehicle accidents in the United States takes place because somebody is texting while they're driving. And the reality is that nearly everybody does it. You pass them on the road. They're at the red light. They don't see it turn green. They swerve into your lane. And this week, a young person in America will be killed because of either them or somebody else is texting while driving. You ought to make the determination, it's not going to be me. Digital devices, the internet, all of this is not going away. No more than the telephone, no more than the automobile. Some platforms rise and some platforms fall. Nobody has MySpace anymore. They come and they go. And I don't say it's all bad because the internet, I use it every day for email and phone, and I have an iPhone and all of that. But I'm aware of the dangers, the traps, the addictions that people fall into. Do you really need it all? How many times a day do you check Instagram? How many times a day are you checking a status or looking at somebody's Twitter? Have you been lax in guarding your children? I told Brother Jason Sanders this morning, we were in my office, we were talking, I was shocked at something. I don't have a lot of computer games. I have an iPhone, and I have 2 games on that computer. I'm ashamed what I'm going to tell you. I have 2 games. I have Solitaire, and I have Sudoku, you know what I'm talking about? I have those 2 games on the computer, because they're free. If I'm sitting at a restaurant by myself, waiting for the food, a lot of times on an airplane, I'll play those games. I can play them for about 10 or 15 minutes, then I get bored because I'm really good at them and I do the expert level. And I play those 2 games. Those are the only 2 games that I have. I don't have Pokemon Go. I don't have Crush Candy, all that stuff. Okay. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, somehow on my phone, and you have to understand, my phone just does stuff. I can't make it do anything. I'm not techie at all. But on my phone, somehow it came up a record of how much time I spent talking, how much time I spent texting, how much time I've been on the internet, I mean, all this stuff, and how much time I have spent playing Solitaire and Sudoku. I was shocked. I don't know how far back it went, but I'm hoping it went back for about 30 years. That phone said that I had spent 91 hours playing a stupid game on my phone. 91. Can you imagine that? I hope that at the judgment that God doesn't put up a big iPhone screen. So now let me show you how much time you spend on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Solitaire. And what could I have done with the time that I spent mindlessly playing a game? Anything wrong with playing a game? I don't think so. I just don't want to spend my life playing that dumb game.